Nothing is more terrifying than Christmas. For Samantha, this darkest time of year brings objects moving on their own, phantoms banging on the walls, and a particular Christmas doll that wreaks havoc untold. Why is this time of year more scary than merry for Samantha? Maybe you can decipher the mystery today on Homespun Hates. Hello, Hainted Loves. Welcome to Homespun Haints. I'm Becky.
And I'm Diana.
Are you ready for the holidays?
Oh, no. No, I'm not ready. Are you ready?
Today is Hanukkah.
Hanukkah is a nighttime event, isn't it?
Everything we do on this show is a nighttime event.
True enough.
We hope you guys are ready for some spooky holiday stories, because that's what we're all about here on Homespun Haints. If you didn't know, this time of year is spooky season part deux.
Part deux.
Is that how you pronounce deux? I don't know. Today, we are bringing you some very, very true spooky Christmas stories from our guest Samantha. Samantha reached out to us with a slew of stories, actually back in the summer, I believe it was. And Diana and I were like, oh, we've got to save this. We've got to save this and give it to you right now, because these stories are terrifying and they all happened to her around Christmas. So this is not folk tales. This is real stories coming from a person just like you or me and what she experienced around Christmas time. We'll let you decide if you can figure out what's causing these things. We think we know.
We do, yeah.
But we would love to have your opinions. Before we bring on Samantha, Diana, I do have a story to tell you.
Oh no, what this time?
When you have children, you always have stories, right? If anybody listening to this episode lives in my neighborhood and you're wondering why the school bus didn't come on Monday, yeah, it's my fault.
Uh-oh.
So we are the very first stop on the school bus, and we have to get out there at 6:40 a.m. It's still dark, and it's a long walk to the stop. But it's okay. It's okay, because it's a time for me to bond with my kids and chat and ask them how they think their day is going to go. We're the very first stop, and my son is running late. She's very nice. Our bus driver is very nice. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to stand at the end of my driveway with a flashlight and flag her down, because we actually have a school bus that will do this. Now, it's not like the school buses of our day, Diana, where they would just slow down and you had to jump on the side and hope you caught it.
Like a hobo catching a train. Yes, that was our childhood, true.
No, this bus actually not only stops and comes to a complete stop, and the bus driver is not smoking like the bus drivers of our days. And the bus driver does not scream obscenities at the children. Am I revealing too much about my childhood here?
No, this is normal. What, you're saying they don't do this shit anymore? Are you kidding me?
They don't do this shit
They're
anymore.
Like nice to the kids?
They're nice. I don't know where they found these new bus drivers that are nice and enjoy children, but they do. So this bus driver is very nice. Our bus driver sees me at the driveway and she stops the bus, which was very nice. And then my son comes running out of the driveway. Run, 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 run. Catch it. Okay, she's waiting for you. Come on, run, run. We have a very long driveway. He's running, he's running, he's running, he's running. He's so excited. He's going to catch the bus. His little glasses are flopping up and down on his face. His backpack's swinging back and forth. Run, 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 run. He's about to make it. And you know that stick that comes out in the front of the bus to make sure that if the bus is stopped at an intersection, so cars know that they need to stop? You know what I'm talking about.
The stop sign. Yeah.
No, there's the stop sign. And then there's also in the front of the bus, there's this long yellow stick that comes out. And it's parallel to the edge of the bus. It comes out. And that's also to make sure that kids don't cross when they're not supposed to.
Oh.
So run into the stick.
Oh.
It's like just at his waist.
Ouch.
It was one of those things where you replay these things in your head and you're like, why couldn't I have stopped that? I saw it coming. Time slowed down, but it was like there was nothing I could do about it. I just watched and there was a part of my brain going, is he going to flip over it? Is he going to land on his head on the pavement? What sort of stitches is this child going to need? As I'm seeing this little so happy little kid running, and he runs into the stick, and the stick just breaks off the bus.
Oh, I was going to ask, which broke, the stick or your son? But I'm glad it was the stick.
Apparently, the stick is designed to break, just so kids don't go flipping over it.
Oh, good.
He's still got a smile on his face. I don't think he even realized what happened. Part of the bus is, like, lying there in the grass, and the bus driver doesn't know this has happened yet, and I walk up to her with the stick. This like 4 foot long stick, yellow stick. And there's still pieces of it on the road. So I'm like gathering up the pieces and bringing it into the bus. And I'm like, and she's like, well, I'm done for the day. You're going to have to drive him in. She's like, I'm out of commission.
She's not legally allowed to operate the bus without the stick.
Yes. They have rules now.
This is amazing.
My bus driver, when we were kids, I still remember her, Virginia. She had 4 words in her vocabulary. Sit down and shut up.
That's five.
5 words. And she was always hoarse from smoking. And she and my dad would get into fights because she kept driving through our yard. And dad was really upset about this.
Don't pick a fight with someone whose vehicle is much bigger than yours. I know this from living in Oklahoma.
So he went out and put a giant boulder in the yard to keep her from driving through the yard. She kept still driving through the yard, but it was scratching up the bus now. So now the bus is getting all gashed. So she's mad about the boulder. So she called dad and yelled at him and told him to take the boulder out of the yard because she wanted to keep driving through the yard.
Oh my gosh.
The next day, the boulder was gone. It had been stolen.
There's a gang of bus drivers in Kingsport, Tennessee. How many bus drivers does it take to steal a boulder in the night from the side of a mountain? That's hilarious. Get this boulder off your lawn. I want to keep defacing your property, sir.
The boulder was gone, and all that was left was just this muddy pit full of cigarette butts with lipstick on the ends.
You got on the bus, and in the back of the bus, there were several seats removed and a giant rock. No?
No. No, I didn't take the bus after that. I was kind of afraid to. Because every time I would get on the bus before, Virginia, she did have a couple other words. She'd be like, tell your dad, you know, in between puffs, tell your dad to get rid of that boulder. It's messing up my bus. Back to modern days. Our current bus driver, I felt very bad. We're driving to school and I could see all these kids like standing out in their driveways with these confused looks, their parents looking at their bus app on their phone like, we know the bus was coming and now it's not. What's going on? And I just wanted to like roll down the windows and go, sorry. I hope that you enjoyed that walk down memory lane. We will include some images from this upcoming story on our Instagram, which is at Homespun Haints. And then, as always, there'll probably be some musings about the story on TikTok at Homespun Haints. So please follow us on both of those platforms if you are on those platforms. And if you like what we're doing and you would like to get some bonus content and ad-free episodes, and you would like to keep listening to us while we're on break through January, you can do so by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/homespunhaints. Well, Hainted Loves, we hope that you have a very, very spooky holiday, whatever holiday you celebrate. And if you're not a member of our Patreon, please enjoy this commercial.
We've been talking a lot lately about how we're more afraid of true crime than we are the paranormal. And that's one of the reasons we like P&W Haunts and Homicides podcast so much, is because they give us our little creepy, spooky appetizer with their ghost stories, but then also delve into the truly horrifying true crime genre at the same episode. So if you haven't already checked them out, strongly recommend. They are hilarious, high energy, fun time for all. For example, here's a clip from one of their episodes.
During the day, this park is bustling with all of the park type people, you know, joggers, stroller pushers, dog walkers, picnickers, frisbee throwers, you know, the type.
Oh, joggers.
Ew, what are they doing? But at night, things shift from a lively atmosphere to a deadly one.
Ooh, I don't like it.
Legend has it that one night a woman was walking through the park at midnight. Now, I know what you're thinking. No, it's not Cinderella. This woman had both of her shoes and clearly no fairy godmother there to protect her.
Okay, well, that was not at all where my head went. Okay.
So she comes across another woman walking in the park. As the first woman scanned the other from top to bottom, as you do, she noticed she was wearing a white dress, probably a pretty odd choice of outfit for a nighttime stroll.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But as she continued her gaze down, she realized something even more strange. The woman had no legs.
I was just picturing no feet. I don't know why.
No legs. No legs at all.
Oh.
She was just a floating torso.
Okay.
With arms and a head. In a white dress.
That's a real choice.
Hey, creepy people. This is P&W Haunts and Homicides. I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Cassie.
Together, we explore stories of the paranormal and true crime throughout the Pacific Northwest. We're just two normal-ish friends who wanted more creepy local stories. Our episodes start with a tarot reading to help us gain some insight on each topic as we share the facts of the case and our interpretations.
Come join us. We've got plenty of wine, laughs, and stories to share.
You can find our episodes featuring true stories from infamous as well as lesser-known true crime cases, like the murders in Tunnel 13 and Forest Park.
As well as our spooky stories from Pike Place and the Oregon Vortex on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, and many more.
For all of you that are listening, if you have any true crime or paranormal stories that you want us to share, email us at pnwhauntsandhomicides@gmail.com.
Have a creepy-ass day!
Today on the show, we are so thrilled to bring you a woman that we met a few weeks ago. Her name is Samantha. She is a tutor and a new mom who is haunted. And she has been for a very, very long time. So, Samantha, thank you so much for coming on the show. We're thrilled that you were able to take some time out of your busy morning and talk to us.
Thank you for having me here.
I understand that the first incident that you really, really experienced something terrifying was when you were four.
Yes. When I was four, we moved from Galveston, which is where I was born, up to the Texas Panhandle, which is where my mom's parents lived. They had this house in Sunday Canyon is what it was called, but it was overlooking the edge of Paladura Canyon, just kind of like out in the middle of nowhere. You're looking over the edge of this precipice. Without the ghosts, it's already spooky.
Right.
Out there. I was four and we moved up there, and just weird things kind of happened in that house. I remember waking up from a nap when I was little. And I went downstairs to find my parents, and I heard voices coming from the garage. Like, there were these, like, really deep voices that I didn't really recognize. And so I was curious, of course. I went up to the wrought iron door that led out to the garage, you know, those old doors with the screens. I peeked through, and the voices just stopped, and the garage was empty. I turned around and I looked out the windows that looked out into the backyard, and my parents were standing out there, and there was nobody else in the house. In that same house, it was Christmas time. My mom and I were upstairs. We were reading a bedtime story. She had her back facing my room, and she was looking at me and reading the story, and we heard the sound of a cat purring. My mom just ignored it because we have a cat. And I was like, Mom, what's that noise? And she's like, oh, don't worry. That's just our cat, Misty. And I was like, Misty's at the vet? And her eyes just like widened with terror. She's like, just that dawning realization, like, oh shit, that look on her face. And she slowly turned around. She turned. And when she did, it unobscured my view of the room. And I could see all my toys in the corner. There were these cat dolls back in the 90s that you shook them and they had like ball bearings or something in the stomach and they sounded like they purred. I had three or four of those in the corner, but one of them was floating in the air and dancing or shaking as if somebody was playing with it. We were just frozen there for a minute, just terrified. And we heard my dad scream from downstairs, and I guess it kind of like shook us out of this like thing. And my mom just like scooped me out of bed, and we ran out the door and down the stairs. As we're coming down the stairs, my dad's still screaming. We see wrapping paper shooting across the room. And my dad's like, the wrapping paper just like lifted off the table and shot across the room. Like, I don't know what's happening. And so we just left.
Like forever or just for the day?
Yeah, like we got in the car and we went, it was nighttime. We went and got a hotel. Shortly after that, we got all our stuff. My parents bought a trailer house. We moved out to our family farm. Like, we were done.
Whoa.
This is your grandparents' house.
They owned it, but nobody lived there at the moment. It was just vacant. We moved in to have a place to stay. We're like, not worth it. I talked to my mom about it last year when we were on our girls' trip. I was like, hey, do you remember? And she was like, I do remember. And she told me like the story. And I was like, yeah, that pretty much lines up.
So your parents were obviously quite freaked out by this wrapping paper flying across the house and the kitty, kitty, kitten or whatever it was with the rattly head floating around. Do you feel like this incident scared you as a child, or were you mostly just picking up on your parents being freaked out?
I was probably just picking up on my parents being freaked out because the voices in the garage never really scared me. It was just strange. It wasn't like I felt afraid.
Did anybody ever give you any satisfaction as to what was going on with that house?
I wish I could talk to the new owners, but it's a gated community. I can't just walk up to the door and be like, hey, anything weird happened?
Darn it. Why is that not more culturally accepted?
Right.
I know. Right.
So after you left this house, you moved into a new one, you had an incident with a cassette tape?
I listened to these bedtime stories. It was Sherry Lewis, and she would read. It was just her bedtime stories with Lamb Chop. Every night, same cassette, I would play it and go to sleep. Well, I was just on the precipice of sleep when the tape started to play wrong. Like, if you slow a record down, and it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. So it started doing that. And I don't even know if that's possible with a cassette tape, but it started making noises like that. I was scared because I think I was closer to 8 at this point. And then all of a sudden, the cassette player just flew off my bedside table and landed on the floor. And when it did, it started playing correctly. I don't know exactly what happened or why it wasn't working, but my grandfather had just passed away. I told myself that it was him fixing my stereo so I could go back to sleep. I'm not really sure. That's just what I told myself so I could go to sleep.
Was Grandpa the kind of guy who would just bang things until they started working again?
Yeah.
It's just try throwing it on the floor. Yep, that worked. Yeah.
But it propelled itself onto the floor? You didn't knock it over? Yes.
It was on my bedside table way over there. Like, I was probably 3 or 4 feet away from it when that happened.
Then there was another story, and these all seem to happen around Christmas, which I know we're going to talk about in a little bit, but you had a story with a doppelganger.
That was probably one of the scariest things that's ever happened to me. We still owned our house in Galveston, and we would rent it out for vacation rentals and stuff. But whenever we wanted to stay there, we would go back. So it was Christmas time. We went to spend 2 weeks there, and I was sleeping in my old room, and I had just woken up for the day, and I didn't have my glasses on yet. So I looked at my doorway, and I saw my mom standing there. And I was like, good morning, how are you? And she didn't say anything. And I was like, that's weird. She was standing there in her nightgown that she always wore. It was this ratty old t-shirt that had the harbor seal on it from the Baltimore Aquarium that she had forever. And so, like, I knew that outfit, and I was like, that her hair, her everything, that was her, even though she was blurry. I was like, that's my mom. I was like, well, that's weird. She's not saying anything. So I turned, and I put my glasses on off the table next to the bed. I looked back at her. She's still standing there, but she's got this evil look on her face. I can't describe it any other way. She just, like, she wanted to kill me. It was the most awful look I could imagine on the face of my mom. I stared at her. I was like, are you okay? What's wrong? She didn't say anything, just silent, just stared at me. And then I saw my mom walk by behind whatever this thing was. And she was carrying a laundry basket. She just went by. She didn't see anything. Whatever was happening was not visible to her. And as soon as she walked by, it just kind of dissipated. It was gone. And I just laid there in bed, frozen for a long time.
How old were you?
I was probably 8 or 9.
Terrifying. Did you tell your mom about it?
Recently. I kept that to myself for a long time.
What was her take on it?
She was upset that whatever it was would choose her form. And I think part of her thought maybe I was imagining it. And so she was taking it personally.
If it was taking her form, it was probably because it wanted to feed on your vulnerabilities. When your guard is going to be down, right? Because it's your mom.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
In your wildest imagination, what do you speculate it could have been?
I have no idea. I wish I did, but it seems like everywhere I've lived, there's been activity of some sort. And part of me just wonders if there's something that's been following me around for years. What or why? I don't really have a good guess.
Even now, in your current house, you're having things happen.
So it started out pretty tame here, just things going bump in the night, essentially. Sounds from the other room, things falling off walls, the shampoo bottles in the shower. Like, I hadn't even showered that day, and it was dry, and the bottles in the middle of the night just clattering on the floor. My husband was like, oh, well, it was wet. They probably slipped. I'm like, it wasn't wet, and they were not on the edge. They got knocked off onto the floor. One night, I just clicked off the light to go to sleep, and I heard the sound of glass tinkling. I shot up in bed. I was like, what was that? Because it came from our room. It was in the room with us. And I was like, did you hear that? My husband was like, rolls back over. I'm like, fine, I'll deal with it. I turn the light back on, and I start looking around the room and trying to figure out what's out of place. I go over to my dresser where I heard the sound, and I had this ornament. It's a glass ornament of a surgeon fish, like Dory from Finding Nemo. It was hanging by an unbent paperclip on a fishnet that was on my wall. I look down, and the ornament is laying on my dresser, about a foot out from the wall. The paperclip is still attached. It's almost as if somebody had picked it up, lifted it off the net, and set it down on my dresser. And I cannot explain that to this day, how it got from there to there without breaking. And it doesn't roll. It's not a round object. Part of me was just really happy I had just turned off the light, because I don't think I could have handled seeing that just coming off the nut and setting on the dresser.
And this was also around Christmas, right?
Yes, it was. I had just gotten that ornament for Christmas and hung it up on my fishnet.
Obviously, there's a theme here. It happens around Christmas. In previous conversations with you, we learned that there's a particular decoration that was your mother's that you now have that you pull out at Christmas, and you think that it may be the source of this.
It very well could be. It's this dingy, creepy old doll from, I think, the 1940s. It's a Santa. My mom has had it since she was a little girl, and so she loves the thing. So she doesn't want me to get rid of it, but I quit putting it out at Christmas time. And he's got like a painted face. He was ripped up, I guess, from years of her dragging it around. So after all this creepy stuff happened recently, I tried to make friends with the doll, and I sewed up all of its holes, and I put the button back on where it goes, and I was just like, okay, let's be friends. And then I put it in storage and haven't taken it out again, except to get two pictures.
Yes, yes, which you sent us.
Yes.
Which will be in our show notes.
My cousin swears that when she came to stay with us over Christmas, I had it sitting in our bathroom, our guest bathroom. She said she swore every time she went in there, it was in a different position. And I don't think she would joke about that, especially because she had no idea that I already had weird stuff happening at Christmas. Like, she had never heard any of my experiences. And she was just like, are you moving the Santa? I'm like, no, I'm not moving the Santa.
Santa's moving the Santa.
Santa's moving the Santa, yeah.
So after you made friends with it, did things get better, or are they about the same?
The things around Christmas time seem to get better, but I still hear these. It almost sounds like somebody takes a baseball bat and smacks the wall behind my bed at night. It only happens at night, and it's always right around the time I want to go to sleep. But that's, it adjoins where that Santa is stored.
Oh, so he's trying to get out.
Oh, no. It's possible. So every so often I hear a crack on the wall behind my bed.
And this doesn't wake up your husband?
No, he sleeps right through it. But I'm sitting there wide-eyed, like staring around, just terrified, waiting to come and try to go to sleep. Sometimes it'll happen two or three times. I'll finally settle down, you know, I'll have, like, watch some TV on my phone or something, and I'm getting calm, and then it'll do it again.
That's so frustrating. Especially as a new mom, like, sleep is precious. That little bastard is messing up like those few precious hours you have of sleep. Man, what a little dick.
When I moved here, I started having these parasomnias, night terrors. I don't really know how else to describe it. The first one that happened, I woke up, or I thought I was awake, I'm not sure. Woke up and I saw the silhouette of a man standing between my bed and the window. Nobody else was home except me. My husband was on night shift. I was terrified. I started screaming. I tried to get my bedside table lamp on, but I couldn't. So I jumped out of bed and I ran across the room and I flipped the light on, and the room was empty. That was really strange. And that's the only time since then that my night terrors, or whatever you want to call them, have looked like a shadow of a person. It felt real. That one did. It felt like I could see the silhouette of a person backlit by the moonlight coming through my blinds. And every other one, those always felt different, and they didn't scare me as much. I would wake up screaming and panting, and I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I'm good.
What does parasomnia mean?
It means something that goes wrong in your sleep, you know, like exploding head, sleep paralysis, night terrors. I think those are all classified as parasomnias, I think.
Para meaning outside the norm, and then somnia meaning sleep. So kind of like insomnia is not sleeping. Parasomnia would be abnormal experiences during sleep.
The silhouette of the man was the only time I actually leapt out of bed and was trying to turn lights on.
But you actually did successfully turn on the light.
Yes.
And that's why I think that wasn't a dream. Because it's actually very difficult for us to turn on lights in our dreams. Our brains don't like that. Same thing with trying to read digital numbers. That's one way you can know if you're asleep. If you can flip a light switch on and off and nothing happens, you're probably dreaming. But if you flip the light switch on and the lights come on, you're probably awake.
Interesting.
Sorry.
Yeah. after the shadow man in this house, I heard the sound of, you know, like if you were going to take two sticks of wood together and kind of beat them in time. I heard that for some reason coming out of our kitchen. And I thought maybe my husband was home early from his night shift, just doing something weird. And I went out there and I saw his truck pulling in the driveway. The noise stopped as soon as I got into the kitchen. And after that, I was like, no, I'm done. This keeps happening. And I was just fed up. So I burned some sage in the house, walked around every room. I had this bell, just went around the house ringing the crap out of this bell in every room. My husband's taking a shower. He's like, she's nuts. I'm like, I'm just done. I'm fed up.
Did it help?
Yeah, it's been pretty quiet.
Well, you may have to do maintenance from time to time on that, but I'm glad that that worked.
I sleep with the bell next to my bed, just in case.
This is all terrifying. I'm so sorry that you have to deal with all of this. I guess come Christmas time, you'll know if something worked.
Yes.
And this is baby's first Christmas.
Yeah.
Are you going to let baby interact with creepy Santa doll?
Mm-mm.
Going to keep creepy Santa in storage?
Yep.
Okay. I second that.
He didn't come out last year, and the year before was the last year he came out. And that's when my cousin was like, are you moving him? Nope. And that was the last time he saw sunlight.
Have you tried leaving anything for him so he doesn't get bored, like giving him some playing cards?
I did try putting a little bowl of honey on our mantle because I had a friend of mine suggest that maybe we had a brownie or something like that that was following me around from place to place. Because sometimes if my husband and I have a tiff, his stuff will disappear. Something he likes will just go missing.
When he fights with you specifically?
Yes.
Mm.
She is like, well, and it's possible all this stuff happens at Christmas because you don't like Christmas. And I'm like, well, could be. I put the bowl of honey up. It's still there. I don't know if it's the Santa or if the Santa's just being used as a
vessel.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, there's something I can move. There's something that mm-hmm. I can mess with. Like, yeah, that'll creep somebody out. If I were a ghost haunting a place, I would have a sense of humor.
Well, Samantha, those were very creepy, very interesting, and very enjoyable. Thank you so much for going down memory lane and sharing all those stories with us. And if you do figure out what the connection is between all these stories, whether it be creepy Santa or maybe just you, do let us know.
Okay, I definitely will. Thank y'all for having me.
Well, you've been listening to Samantha tell us her very spooky stories about her childhood and her current life, all in Texas, all scary, all haunted. If you would like to see pictures of creepy, creepy Santa, please be sure to follow us on our Instagram at Homespun Haynes, where we will post pictures. We'll also have those on our Facebook page, facebook.com/groups/homespunhaynes, where we will talk about theories about this episode, because I'm sure you have some. And then, as mentioned before, we are really, really trying hard to build our TikTok, but Diana and I are old and we don't know how and we don't know any dances. So we need your help. Please follow us on TikTok if you're not on there already. It's just at Homespun Haynes. Do not expect any dances. Sorry. Well, at least I dance like Elaine from Seinfeld. But
right? Me too. Stay thirsty, friends. It's not coming from us.
But we have other great content on there. Please check us out on TikTok.
Well, listeners, you better not pout, and you better not cry, you better not shout, and I'm telling you why. You're about to have a spooky day.
Homespun Haynes is hosted by Becky Kielimnik and Diana Doty, and produced by Homespun Haynes Media, LLC. Editing and music by Becky Kielimnik. Show notes by Diana Doty. If you have a ghost story and you'd like to be considered as a guest for this podcast, please visit our website at homespunhaynes.com/submit.